Hi, you guys. Welcome to Beyond the Filters podcast. I'm your co-host, Lizzie.
And I'm Aaron. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about something that we haven't really dived into that much before. And it's going to be about our relationship and more specifically, our interracial relationship.
And it's kind of funny hearing you say that because on a daily basis, it's not something that I think about really when it comes to our relationship. So I think going through the questions that we have selected for the episode today will be super interesting even for us.
Yeah, and we figured this would be a good episode to do because it's kind of a good opportunity even for us to sit down and think more deeply about our relationship on this level and just kind of shed some light on the ins and outs of our thoughts around how we operate as a couple.
And like any relationship, but interracial relationships in particular, they can be both challenging and very fulfilling. And us being an interracial couple, we do face a unique set of challenges and stigmas within our society. So we're going to dive deep and talk about it all.
Yeah, and we got a lot of great response from the kind of QA format that we did because it's a little more raw, a little more off the cuff. So we're going to try to stick to that for this episode as well. And I think we've got a good mix of some more serious and some more fun questions. So I don't know, hopefully you guys like this episode.
Yeah, let's get right into them. And I'm going to be reading off the questions today. Question number one, have you ever dated someone of a different ethnicity to yours? And if so, what was your experience? Do you have any preferences on races to date or have you in the past?
You go first. No, I have not, outside of obviously Lizzie. What was my experience with my previous relationships? All white girls from, I guess mainly from rural communities, so to speak. So I don't know, very basic. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think it's because there wasn't a lot of diversity where you grew up. Maybe that's a good way to like point it out too. It wasn't like you were in classrooms with a bunch of different ethnicities. It was really mainly white people.
Yeah, we always had exchange students, but it seemed like most of them were boys from, I don't know, from my experience anyway. And then the few girls that we had, actually Akari was like, we were pretty good friends with her, but I think someone else was trying to date her or something. Anyway, I never had really the thirst for an Asian person prior to meeting you, I will say.
Yeah. And for my experience, a couple of relationships I did have that were like more serious were actually with two white boys. But I did have like little tiny relationships or crushes on people of like my ethnicity. Well, actually not actually Korean, but like Filipino and whatnot. I don't have a particular race or an ethnicity that I prefer to date. I just like people for who they are. But I think in my circumstance growing up where I grew up, it was very diverse. So I was open to a lot of people. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess maybe for me, just the fact that I've never dated anyone that wasn't white. And I don't know, before I knew really who you were. Sorry, guys, I'm a little sick. So if I pause weirdly for a second, it's to cough. But yeah, I guess I used to call you, and my friends that were in engineering with me used to know that I used to call you the hot Asian girl in our class.
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe not PC again, but whatever. It is what it is. At least I was calling you hot. But I don't know. I don't know if it was the way you dressed or like your body type or your face. I don't know. I'd never really thought too much about it. Honestly, I just knew you were hot and
yeah,
that I wanted a piece of it.
Yeah. And I think you were just exposed to more, let's say, Asian girls going to university because you were now in Halifax, more diverse than where you were in Cape Breton. So I feel like that probably helped your pool of attraction.
Yeah. And I will say a small disclaimer. My little sister's best friend growing up was Chinese. So like,
well, she is still.
Oh, sorry. Is Chinese. So I guess I never really like, until I was in university and I guess more surrounded by Asian women, I wasn't really like to me, Asian girls were like, oh, that's my little sister's friend. Like not even a thought in my mind. So
yeah, you just weren't exposed to it a lot. So yeah,
exactly.
That's a good answer. For me, what attracted me to Aaron was it's honestly the typical, you kind of hear it in like K-pop shows or whatever, especially like in Korea growing up. I always thought like I wanted a blonde boy with blue eyes, and that was you essentially. Like you have dirty blonde hair and blue eyes, but that wasn't initially the thing that really attracted me to you. It was, I've talked about it before in a different episode, but your big arms, and I don't want to like pump up your ego, but that was the case. It was your big arms. And to me, it was really attractive because I think growing up in Korea, I never really saw boys of that physical type. So seeing something really different attracted me a lot to you. And like, I don't know, there must be some primal reason as to seeing a man that's like big and buff that makes you feel safe and attracted to. So I don't know. That's my answer.
Well, I appreciate you calling me buff, but yeah, maybe I gotta work on getting the arms big again. I don't know, but.
But yeah. Anyways, that's our answer to number two. Number three, if you had to create a mixed culture dish based on our relationship, what would it be called and what ingredients would it have?
For me, I think it would be some form of incorporating North American meats into a Korean barbecue-esque kind of dining experience, if you will.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was thinking about the Korean barbecue, Korean dishes. Korean barbecue is very well known, so I was thinking some sort of marinate with that, with like beef and chicken, and you like a lot of meat, and it's like a big part of America, or like not American but white people culture. And what am I calling this wrong? I sound very ignorant. I'm just not finding the right words.
I guess Western culture, maybe.
Yes, Western food, so like some sort of barbecue.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the other Korean style foods, so that would definitely be mine. I thought you were gonna go with something like kimchi related, or
no, I wanted it to be something that like you would like too, and like you like meat, and anytime we eat Korean food it's kind of meat based. Maybe a dish, I guess this doesn't really count, but there's a lot of Korean snacks that you really like, so.
Oh well, yeah, I don't know if snacks can count as far as like creating a mixed culture dish. Like I definitely sprinkle some of that, I don't know what they're called or what Lizzie got. They're called like turtle chips or something, but they're kind of like, how would you describe them?
It's like, if you think about a croissant, it's layered and it's four layered, crispy, tastes like a churro, chocolate churro with sugar. And when you bite into it, it just like melts into your mouth.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you had a churro made of chocolate and you cut it up into like 1-inch cubes and like you ate that, but it was also a croissant. Anyway, must be terrible for you, but it's one of the greatest snacks I ever had, so I would definitely incorporate some kind of version of some Korean snacks into,
we'll make that into like a cereal that's like a Western food.
Yeah, give me like a Lay's chip flavor of that, or a kettle cooked chip flavor of that. Okay, all right, let's nobody steal that idea, because I think we have a winner on our hands.
But I feel like for the most part you really like a lot of the Korean snacks I bring home and stuff. And there's this new Korean grocery store, no, an Asian grocery store that opened right below us in our apartment building that has a bunch of different Asian foods and snacks, and it's been so dangerous and bad for my wallet and my health because I'm just eating everything under the sun.
Yeah, a little too close to home, I think, for our, especially your, what's the word I'm looking for? Lack of, you're a very disciplined person, but when it comes to Korean snacks, that just goes right out the window. And yeah, it being literally an elevator ride down, not good.
I know. Okay, question number four. Did you initially have concerns dating each other at the start due to your different races?
Not really. Like, I didn't really care what my parents think, because again, my little sister's best friend was Asian, so like it didn't really, like I knew my family didn't really care about the multiculturalism sort of aspect of it, so no, I didn't really have any concerns.
Yeah, I didn't have any concerns either. No, I don't know, because I had dated white guys before in the past. Yeah, it didn't really, yeah, the simple answer is no, but I could see how in other cultures and different ethnicities it could be a problem, because sometimes there's an expectation that you are dating someone within the same race so that you can really, I guess, continue on with the same traditions for generations, which is really important in some cultures, but not so much with mine.
Yeah, me as well.
And the next question is question number five. Did your friends or family react in any particular way once you both started dating, and has anything changed over time?
Definitely nothing to do with like you on the outside. I think the bigger culture shock was like kind of big city girl coming to small town vibes, was where my friends and family were like, are you sure about this? Like, how is this gonna work? But
yeah, I would say the same. Like when I first met you, it wasn't the fact that you were white or anything like that. Like my stepdad's white, my step siblings are white. I'm very much assimilated into the Western culture. Yeah, felt fancy there. Social studies in high school. Anyways, whatever. I very much assimilated into the Western culture. So for my family, the exact same. Their reaction was more so like, oh, like he's from a small town, he's going to be a farmer, like you're a city girl, like are you sure you really want to, you know, be with him? So simple answer, had nothing to do with our ethnicities, more so around where we came from and our upbringings and our lifestyles.
Yep, I agree.
Number six, if you could blend one aspect of each of your cultures into your wedding, what would it be and why?
I guess as far as the Cape Bretoner in me goes, I want to have kind of like a big reception with a lot of people there and have a good party. But other than that, I think that's just weddings in general, you know?
Is there anything specific to like the Netherlands?
Not that I know of, no. Well, actually, my dad was telling us the other day that like it's kind of customary for the parents or the in-laws of each person to kind of get together and like meet and do something. But I mean, I'd like both of our parents to go do that. Our parents have already kind of done that once, but...
Yeah, something a little bit more formal leading up to the wedding, I guess.
Yeah, but like...
That probably will happen. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's something that's going to happen. But like, if it doesn't, that's not going to make or break my wedding, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know, in terms of like my, yeah, my ideas around like Korean culture and our wedding, the only thing that I can really think of is like us wearing the Korean traditional like outfits that you would when you get married. So it's called a hanbok or hanbok. I think I'm pronouncing it properly, but it's really beautiful for a woman. It's obviously like a dress with like a little sweater on top looking thing, and then for the guy it's like just a two-piece or three-piece set. And I feel like if we had that in one of our photos to remember, I feel like that would be really sweet. But honestly, outside of that, a very basic Western culture wedding is probably what we will have.
Are we gonna wear those things like on the altar, like when we're actually getting married?
No, I still want to wear like a white dress, and I want you to wear like a nice like chic suit while we're like walking down the aisle. Yeah, but like I want like sometime before or after we actually do that to like take pictures together in our Korean outfits. I think that would be really sweet, and I want to, yeah, I really do want to do that.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair.
Yeah. Okay, question number seven. What was your initial reaction or feeling when you realized you were in a relationship with someone from a different racial or cultural background?
Yeah, so again, I guess for me is more cultural background. I don't know the exact moment or like the exact timing, but I've definitely had some moments where I was like, oh shit, this is like very different than what I'm used to or like how I grew up. And I can't think of anything in particular, but I've definitely had those moments and I've just been like, well, all right, I guess I gotta learn how to adapt if I'm gonna stick this one out.
Also, like, agree. I don't know if there's a particular thing that I remember, but anytime something would come up, and it was really more so related to like my culture and my ethnicity, because for you, it was like it's standard, but I just always think about food. Like when we first started dating, like you weren't really diverse in what you ate. And so for me, like I love Korean food. I could eat Korean food every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'd crave it a lot. But I think when I first started dating you, I was a little bit more hesitant on having those types of food because sometimes they smell, there's a lot of fish, little different things like that. So I felt like reserved myself a little bit. And then till we started to get more comfortable and we were going out on dates and stuff, I was more open to like bringing you to restaurants and wanting to try food with you. But I was kind of nervous because I knew half the time you didn't like it. And I felt bad for us like going on dates and stuff. I don't know. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I appreciate you feeling bad because at the start I was like, cool, man, some of this stuff is not for me. And a lot of it's still not for me, but I can handle the smells and I can handle our apartment smelling like cuttlefish
or friggin' like kimchi.
Kimchi. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. But I do appreciate you. I feel like now I respect you not wanting to eat certain things, but you're very accommodating. Like you will never complain about the way that the apartment smells. I always try and like light candles and put out like cups of vinegar so that it gets rid of the smell really quick. But I do really appreciate that about you. And so if there's moments where I want to eat my Korean food, we'll just have different meals. And yeah, we just kind of learn to embrace that. And sometimes you'll eat Korean stuff, but it's mostly the snacks, the ice cream, things like that.
Yeah, anything that involves sugar.
Yeah. Okay, question number eight. Oh, I love this one. Do either of you speak languages of each other's backgrounds?
Not yet, but we are currently going through doing Duolingo to try to learn me some Korean and to relearn you some Korean.
Yeah, I pretty much lost all my ability to speak Korean fluently, like reading and writing and listening. I think maybe before we started Duolingo, it was like 30% of like everything combined. But I feel like all those muscle memories are definitely in the back of my mind. So we do have a goal in mind of wanting to go back to Korea in the next couple of years. And I would love it if Aaron would be able to have a very simple or basic conversation with my dad, my family. So I'm very thankful that you're willing and you're like, heck yeah, I'll do Duolingo with you and I'll try and learn.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's becoming a little bit difficult. There's some certain words that, or I don't know if they're words, they're more consonants and vowels that I'm still very early on in this process. So, I mean, give me some leeway here, but I'm going to play something for you guys. And for at least all of my white ears out there, listen to these two things and tell me they are not the same. Hold on.
Yeah. And I will, before you share that sound too, I will say, like, for me learning it, like, I had skipped all of unit one and I went immediately to unit two, and Aaron's going through all of the basics. And so there's specific words and letters that he's trying to learn, but as he's going through it in Duolingo, it sounds the exact same to him. And I'm trying to teach him, like, no, Aaron, there are different things, and I'm pronouncing it to him. And, like, half the time he's, like, swearing at Duolingo, saying, like, F you, you're wrong. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm just sitting there like, Aaron, like, you have to learn. You can't just reject what it's trying to teach you. So it's been funny listening to him and seeing him learn.
Okay, hold on. Let me just make sure these are the right ones.
Okay.
Okay, here's one.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Now, you're telling me those aren't the exact same word or exact same letter?
Okay, I will say, yay, yay.
That sounds the exact same. Anyway.
They're two different things.
We'll let you guys decide on that. But Korean, from what I've gathered so far, seems like it's a very easy language to learn how to write. But as far as learning how to speak and listen to it, might be a bit of a challenge for me.
But you're doing good so far. Before we started Duolingo, I was teaching Aaron a bunch of, like, random words, like how to say excuse me, hi, thank you, like bathroom. Sometimes I'll teach him, like, inappropriate words, whatever, just for the fun of it. And those seem to be the ones you like the most, which is, of course, the way it is.
Well, yeah, I know bathroom is Wajongshil. And anyway, I'm not going to flex on all you people here for how good of Korean I am. But yeah, I know some. I could, if you plop me down in the middle of Seoul, I could get myself some water and rice and find myself a bathroom. So,
and, yeah.
And what else do you need, you know?
No, it's good. I really appreciate you learning it. And, like, I don't know, do you, like, are you learning it just, I was going to ask you if you're learning this language just for me. And for my family, to try and reconnect or connect with my family when you first meet them. Isn't that important?
Yeah, but I wouldn't learn it for your family if it weren't for you. So,
yeah. Also for our future kids.
Yeah, well, I know Koreans are a bit of a dying breed, so...
Oh my god, I hate it when you say that.
I mean, it's the truth. They have, like, one of the lowest population, or what is it called? Repopulation rates.
Birth rates.
Birth rates in the entire world, so...
Yeah, women are just not giving birth anymore, and companies are trying to pay them $75,000 a year or something to have a kid, or maybe just, like, to have a kid. They're going to pay you $75,000, which is crazy to me. Sad.
Well, I guess it's our duty to carry on that tradition.
Well, a mixed breed,
or not even tradition, culture in general.
Yeah. We're gonna be the only family of Korean population in Cape Breton, I swear.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all right.
Okay, question number 9. If you had to pick one tradition to incorporate into your daily lives together, what would it be and why?
For me, for yours, I think it would be eating kimchi every day. Or is that the... Yeah,
it's kimchi
every day, and, like, making it ourselves, like, burying it in the ground, letting it ferment, because apparently that's very, very good for your gut biome and your health. So I think that would be just a good one overall. Mm-hmm. As far as my traditions go, I don't really have any, so...
Keep doing what we're doing.
One, I always want a real Christmas tree in our house. Always.
Oh, yeah, true. I guess in Korea, you, like, celebrate Christmas, but we don't get Christmas trees or anything like that. So, yeah, that's a cop-out answer, but I will accept it.
And we'll did ask for daily lives, so I guess that's not really an answer, but our yearly lives, real Christmas trees.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say kimchi. Kimchi is, like, something you don't really like. Like, anytime we go out for Korean food, you don't really pick away at kimchi.
No, I don't like it, and I don't like sauerkraut or anything really that's fermented, but again, it's really, really good for you, so I'm going to have to start learning. I didn't like vegetables when I first met you, and...
Now you do.
Now I do, so... Maybe I can learn to like that too.
Yeah. And when we moved to Cape Breton, like, we've already, like, made a decision. Like, we're going to make kimchi our way. Like, we're going to dig a hole in the backyard, get a clay pot, take 2 days to prep all of the cabbage, the spices, desalting all of the leaves and stuff, put it over a season through the winter so that we can have lots of fresh kimchi. And we'll have to get, like, a separate kimchi fridge because those are temperatured in a interesting way. Anyways, we'll get there. We'll talk about it. But I would love to do that with you.
Woohoo.
Question number 10. Have you ever tried different cuisines of your partner's culture and do you like it? So I think we already answered this question.
Yeah, definitely for at least my perspective. But have you tried any Dutch dishes or Cape Breton specific dishes.
Does croquettes in Spain count?
yeah, I guess croquettes is more of a, I don't know if that's a Dutch thing necessarily. I haven't gotten you to try Flico or, have you had boiled dinner yet?
Isn't boiled dinner a Cape Breton thing?
I guess it's like, I don't know if it's a Cape Breton thing. It might be a Newfoundland thing. I think right. Flico is a Newfoundland thing too, but.
Oh yeah, because you're, right. Your mom's from your mom's family's from Newfoundland, so I guess that would count.
Well, your stepfather, who's a Newfie, as he points out, that Cape Bretoners are just Newfies that didn't make it all the way out west. So
yeah, and my stepdad, being a Newfie, he doesn't really do anything related to Newfoundland, like in terms of like food and stuff. I don't know. We never grew up eating anything in particular that people in Newfoundland would eat. So oh,
he loves his fish and chips with malt vinegar.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah. Okay. Fish and chips.
All this to say, I gotta get you eating boiled dinner, which I don't personally like that much, but Flico I love.
What's Flico?
Flico is, if I remember correctly, it's fried bologna, potatoes, and then I think you just put vinegar on it.
What?
Little ghetto.
What?
It was my, I don't know, my Aunt Jen used to make it for us when we were on the boat, but.
Was it good?
I mean, I like to, what's not to like? Potatoes, bologna, and vinegar.
Is bologna and Spam the same thing? Because in a lot of Korean, like street food dishes, they use a lot of Spam.
Yeah, it's more just like thinly cut, sliced, not thinly sliced, but like probably a centimeter, 2 centimeters thick sliced piece of Spam.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, it is.
I think I would love that. Okay, maybe we have to try it. You're going to make it for me?
Hell yeah, all you do is put freaking bologna and potatoes in a pan, fry them, and put vinegar on it. It's easy.
Okay, sounds good. Question 11. If you were to create a sitcom based on your relationship, what would the title be and who would play you both?
That's a great question. If we were to create a sitcom based on our relationship.
I don't know. Oh, ooh, what was the one to All the Boys I Loved Before or whatever? Remember that like Netflix show that all the little girls were obsessed with, the Asian girl and then the white boy who fall in love in high school? And like, do you
I remember the, was it a show or a movie?
It was a movie. It was a romance movie. She was a smart, studious Asian girl.
Okay, I think our sitcom would be called like,
I don't know if it would be mostly based on our ethnicity, but I feel like it'd be really like City Girl,
Lizzie,
falls in love with farm boy or something.
Lizzie and the Tramp or something.
Lizzie and the Tramp? Are you the Tramp?
Well, I'm not Lizzie.
Isn't Tramp like a derogatory term?
Is it? I just remember Lady Tramp. And the Tramp, and I like spaghetti, so. and who would play us?
I would probably pick the girl who was in that movie. I think she'd be very good Lizzie. Or there's a girl that plays the daughter in Kim's Convenience. She could play me.
Yeah, she could.
My stepdad's obsessed with that show, and every time he watches it, he's always telling me, like, you are exactly that girl. You guys have the same personality, so maybe I'd pick her. You could be Jacob Elordi.
Sure. Don't know who that is.
He's the guy from, what's that?
Saltburn
and Euphoria.
Yeah, I don't know. Different body types.
Or maybe like Chris Hemsworth.
I'll take that.
Thor?
Like
is
a
that
young,
Thor?
Younger Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Lizzie and the Tramp coming to a theater near you.
Okay.
Or a Netflix near you.
That's a silly question. Question 12, do you have any specific culture traditions or anything you would like to raise your kids with?
Not from a Dutch or Korean perspective for me, but I plan to make them work.
A good work ethic.
I guess that's kind of a Dutch tradition. Like, kids always help their families out on the farm, at least from what I know. So,
yeah.
That would be my tradition.
Okay. My tradition would be, I don't know. I would make sure that I was teaching them Korean at an early age, which is why it's also a big motivator for me right now to try and learn and be fluent in the language again. And yeah, so I feel like it'd be amazing to have our kids speak a couple of languages, like not even English and Korean. I think it would also be great if they learned French. Like, I would consider putting them into French immersion, but neither one of us is French. I just feel like it'd be good to have. And there's a lot of studies out there of kids who learn multiple languages, how it like really helps develop your brain. So I think that would be great.
I feel like if they can do one language, and then ideally like a musical instrument would be probably better, because it's like kind of the same thing.
Yeah, just like works different parts of your brains. And then foods. Like, I want to cook them Korean dishes so that they start like adapting to the flavors and are, you know, enjoying all the different types of food and whatever fast food you would take them to if I'm not in town or something and feed them.
Hell yeah, Mickey D's. Let's go.
But you can't feed them too much because then they're not going to want to eat the food I make them. That's Korean. So you just, not too much.
It's not my fault that McDonald's tastes better than Korean food.
Aaron, but
I'm just kidding.
But McDonald's food will give you, well, what is it? Clog your heart? I can't have that.
Clog your arteries? Yeah, I don't know if it clogs your heart, but.
Clog your arteries. Our kids need to be healthy. And a lot of Korean food, like outside of the snacks and junk food, are so healthy and good for you. Come on. Okay. Next question. Have you encountered any stereotypes or prejudices from others because of your interracial relationship, and how did you handle them?
Again, nothing really in terms of the interracialness, but definitely some prejudices as far as city girl, country boy.
I want to just say, like, because I'm so westernized and assimilated into this culture, like, we are so lucky that I guess we both come from cultures where our families are so open and accepting of all ethnicities, like sexual preferences. So it's never been an issue of ours. I mean, what, Aaron looked at me really funny just there.
Sexual preferences.
Yeah. Like if you were bi, if you were trans or like anything like that, like my family would still love the person I was with if they were a good person. It'd be different if they're a bad person, but yeah, like my family is very accepting. And from what I've learned with your family, they're very accepting. And especially ever since I started coming around and being around your family a lot more, they've always made a really sweet effort to try and get to know me and the way that I grew up and learn about my, I guess, like culture. And I don't know if my family's done that as much with you because you're from here, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Your parents have a pretty good idea of my background and stuff like that. There wasn't too much digging. They know the Western world and Western culture.
Yeah, the only thing I do notice sometimes, which isn't really an issue anymore, is but sometimes when I do go home to your hometown, because there aren't as many like Asian ethnicities, sometimes I get like looks and stares and stuff when I'm with you, but that doesn't really bother me anymore. It's just like a part of, I guess, living in a different place, but I do notice it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's more of a like necessarily like you're being Asian or more so just like I'm basically 6 feet, you're 5'1.5" Asian, you know, it's a big kind of contrast between your body type and my body type. So I feel like even I notice it like walking down the streets here in Halifax where there's tons of Asian people, you'll still get like you and I will get stares because yeah. of just the way
and it's
we walk down the street, you know?
It's so true. Sometimes, I swear, there's a couple of couples in Halifax that are little doppelgangers of us. Like, when we see them once in a while, we're like, oh my god, like, that's like you and I in a different form.
Well,
so we even notice it.
Apparently, the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The largest quantity of interracial couples is white male, Asian female.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is. No idea, but
well, I mean, there's like people out there who have like Asian fetishes and stuff, and that's like a big thing, which, you know, you've already explained you've never dated an Asian girl before, you never even thought to until you met me, so like that's not a thing. But I feel like in the past I've definitely like encountered guys who were like kind of into that, and like it's just such an ick and such a turn off and like so not
interesting.
Yeah, I know, but I mean it's a thing, like it's like a full-on
I believe it
fetish. Yeah. That people have, and it's just I want people to like me for me, not because of like the color of my skin or the particular way that I look, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I would never like you for that.
Mm-mm.
Just kidding.
But I do think about sometimes if we have kids, I always talk about it with you. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want our kids to get bullied because they look slightly different to most of their classmates, like being from a smaller town, you know what I mean? And even your younger sister's friend who is of a different ethnicity, like of Asian ethnicity, like she's gone through that before too. So I don't know. I just always worry and like I want to protect our future kids at some point. But to you, you don't seem bothered at all. You're like, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, and like, I don't want to say this about my sister's friend, but like, I don't know. They're going to experience it regardless, and you could get bullied for anything regardless, like whether it's being of a different race, you know, being too skinny, too fat, too...
To anything.
So basically just teach our kids to be good people.
Respect people, not care about where they're from, and just make sure that you're being kind, right?
Yeah, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I think that's got to be brought back into the culture a little bit. And
yeah,
if people are going to come at them with sticks and stones, then we just got to make sure they're badass enough to throw a stick and a stone back.
At the end of the day, what they really should be concerned about is me being a crazy mom.
Agreed.
If something happened with our kids, like, it wouldn't be our kids caring or you caring, it'd be me going berserk at the school. You don't want that.
If you're listening to this, children, will come to me first.
Don't tell your mom first about the problem. That's so true. Question number 14. Have you ever visited each other's homeland?
Definitely not.
No, but unfortunately.
I think we both, like, we plan to go, like, well, you've been to Cape Breton a million times, so if we're talking that, sure. But
yeah,
you've never been to the Netherlands. I'd like to take you there someday. Mm-hmm. You want to take me to Korea someday?
It's just kind of like, it's not an easy trip for either one of, I feel like Netherlands is probably a little bit easier for us to travel to versus like Korea, but I feel like now 7 years in, we're engaged, before we move on to the next step, like, probably should go see our families.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's one of those things where if we're going all the way to Korea, like, that's probably
at least a 2 week trip. Probably, yeah. A 2 week is what people typically do because the travel is so long and the time difference. And once you're there so far, like, try and make the most of it, because if we go in the next couple of years, probably not going to go for another 5 to 10 years, which is just like, so, oh, I wish my family was closer, but they're not.
Yeah, I know. That's it's unfortunate is what it is, but let's at least wait until I've got like a few months of this learning Korean under my belt.
Yeah, for sure. And then with Netherlands, I feel like it'll probably be after Korea. Like, I think we're wanting to go to Korea first, or I don't know, whatever. We'll go at some point. Who knows? But
yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, not yet. Number 15, how do you celebrate and incorporate each other's cultural traditions into your relationship? So we don't really have any like traditions and things. And like, this isn't another one of those simple answers. Like, we don't really have anything because we're not very culturally into our cultures.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Like, the only thing, again, is food. Like, if you're making Korean food, I'll try my best to eat it, even if I don't like it. But
yeah, you're so sweet for doing that.
Other than that, we don't really have any traditions like that. So
yeah, I feel like I probably would have turned out a little bit different too if I had more of my family here. Like, when I was growing up in Calgary, like, it was really just my mom at the end of the day. And like, God bless my mom, she's so sweet, but she was so focused on getting me to learn English and get assimilated into this culture that like, we kind of not lost a lot of the traditions, but we didn't celebrate them as much anymore. Like, Lunar New Year, like, is never really something we celebrated, but we just kept up with eating all the foods that we love. So I do kind of like regret that a little bit, which is why when I have kids, even though they won't be born in Korea like I was, they'll be born in Cape Breton, I still want to make sure that they're learning and being proud of their culture and understanding where they're coming from and appreciating their dads too from the Netherlands. But yeah, not to say that mine's more significant, but I feel like it's a little bit more different than like yours.
Yeah, it's definitely, at least for our circumstances, more significant, I would say. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Question number 16, have you ever had to confront your own biases or preconceptions about interracial relationships, and how did you overcome them?
I mean, not really. Like, I guess the only, I wouldn't say it's a bias or a preconception, but like, the only thing I had to come to terms with is that, you know, my kids are going to look probably a lot more like you than they're going to look like me.
Yeah. They're going to be so cute.
Yeah.
I know, but you're kind of like, you can be honest. You're always talking about, oh, we're not going to have like NBA stars, you know, because I'm like 5'2".
Yeah. Hopefully they can learn how to golf well. But other than that, I've given up on the hopes of having an athlete child. But that's okay. I was never an athlete anyway.
But they could be so smart and successful and great businessmen and hardworking.
I'm not going to comment on what you just said there.
Why?
Yeah, it's a little Asian stereotypy with what you said.
But you're also smart. You're also hardworking. Like, maybe it's not culture specific, but it's generational family specific.
Yes.
But also golf, because a lot of my family members were like professional golfers, had golfed their entire life. Like, I feel like definitely if we get them into golf or like badminton or something, they could do really well.
Yeah, you know what? Hopefully that was just something that skipped a generation and then our kids will... boom, pop out and be golf stars. Oh God, I'd love that. But anyway.
Yeah, I feel like that's one thing you did have to come to terms with. And like, sometimes you joke around like, oh my God, my blue eyes are going to be lost. Sorry, my genes are just stronger than yours.
Must be nice. Do you have any preconceived biases or?
Of you? Not really. No, I don't. I really don't. I accept everything about, I guess, oh, this sounds so corny, but I accept everything about you and your family and your cultures. Like, it's not anything different to me.
감사합니다.
Yeah. Question number 17. What are some unique strengths or advantages you believe your interracial relationship brings to your partnership?
Again, as far as, well, for one, definitely just experiencing culture and foods and traditions and I guess languages that I would never, if I didn't know you, would have any chance or any willingness to go learn or be a part of. So
yeah,
outside of that, nothing really though.
I mean, those are like, I would say to me, they mean a lot, and they're big ones to me. The fact that I've always said I could never be with a guy who can't eat a lot of Korean food or like sushi and all those types of things, and you do, which I really appreciate. And it'd also be really different if you weren't willing to like learn my language and like hear about my stories of growing up and like kind of my completely different life before I ever met you. Like that in and of itself is like a really big deal to me, and I know not everybody gets that. And to you, it's like kind of like nothing because it's like a no-brainer, and you're like, why not? Like if I'm with somebody that I love, I'll do and learn whatever, but not everybody gets that. So yeah, don't discredit yourself, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but I do think it probably helps us more than like is a disadvantage in a relationship. Like I'm really proud to be with someone who like wants to do all those things with me and learn about my culture, and like also like he said, like want to have kids with me that won't be fully of your culture and ethnicity. It's going to be a mixed child, which is going to come with different sets of like expectations and how we raise them and different things to set them up for their life path. So I don't know, I like it. Question number 18. How do you navigate dynamics of extended family and friends who may have differing views on interracial relationships? Not a problem for us.
Yeah, I've got a big family. There's already some interracial relationships. I think I'm the first one to bring any full Asian.
It's us and then your cousin who also is in an interracial relationship. And is that it? Or are there more?
I have a cousin that's with a Mexican person. I have a cousin that's with a, like, I guess, like a Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah. Okay, so there's some diversity in your family.
Yeah,
and most of your aunts and uncles and their kids kind of live all over Canada too. They're not all in Cape Breton, so naturally you start to meet people of different ethnicities. So yeah, extended friends and family, I've never felt like I was treated any different from any of your aunts and uncles and cousins. They've always welcomed me with really big arms because we've always like connected well, and I've always been really kind and willing to meet them and learn about them and their family. And even your grandfather, when I first met him, like he was so like interested in my life and where I grew up and learning about me. And every time I would see him, he would ask me questions about Korea and my family and how, you know, things were. So yeah, this is not an issue for us, thankfully. Yeah,
I think this will be a more interesting question to ask after I've been to Korea, because I've never really met your extended family.
Yeah.
So
they'll definitely have some thoughts about you for sure, but like probably good, but to them will be just so wild to see for my dad, like his girl with a white man, and like you look so different from like everybody in Korea, like physically. And
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll probably find that really interesting. We'll let you guys know in a couple years if we're still doing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
We're almost there at question number 19. What has been the most rewarding aspect of being in an interracial relationship?
I think we've kind of touched on this before, but like it's giving me an actual reason to try and learn a new language, so that's pretty cool. I've been immersed in a lot of different foods and not really traditions, but just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'd say the language thing, foods.
Those are the main players.
Those are definitely the main ones. And
I feel like it'll be more apparent when we have kids.
Yeah, I agree.
So it kind of goes nicely into our last question. Question number 20 is, what advice would you give to other interracial couples who may be facing challenges or similar things that we've experienced? Just keep your mind open, love people for who they are, and hopefully your family will see and view them the same way as you do. And as long as they're a good person, I don't think anything else should really matter.
Yeah, and if anyone's giving you shit, fuck them.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be in your life. And I feel like that's another thing too, is like you have to be protective over your partner. So if you feel like they're being mistreated in a certain way, to like be there for them and call that out and protect them, because that, you know, if you're with someone that you love, I feel like that's a part of your responsibility. So always make sure that you're protecting your relationship as a whole too, because we're probably more lucky than the average interracial couple, just because I'm so westernized. But we're definitely not discrediting the fact that a lot of other couples go through that too, and it's not always the easiest thing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, your partner is your, you know, at least I feel like in most relationships, your partner is going to be your life partner. So if you really love them and you care for them, like, they're the person that you want to make happy. So if you're dealing with family or friends or whatever else that's giving you a hard time about it or trying to influence your decision either way, then, you know, really take a step back, think for yourself, and just let your relationship be your relationship without the outside noise.
Yeah. And if you weren't coming from a Western culture and maybe you came from a very different Asian or different ethnicity, you know, I would do what you would do. Like, I would try all your foods. I'd try and learn your language because I love you and I care about you. But in this particular situation, I think it's a lot more focused on Aaron doing things and getting used to things of my culture because it's a little bit more, what's the right word? A bit stronger, a bit...
Yeah, it's just...
it's just more different.
I'm very westernized already, so anything that's not kind of westernized is very big change. Yeah, definitely to that advice, I guess, bringing that up, I would say be open, be willing to try. You know, it's not going to hurt you. You might upset your taste buds, or you might be embarrassed for a little bit if you're trying a new language or trying something new out, but, you know, same goes for anything. Just be willing and open to give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's all of our questions for today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and hopefully you learned a little bit more about us, where we come from and kind of our inner workings of our relationship and thoughts. Aaron, close us out today.
Oh, jeez. My favorite part of the podcast.
Come on. I feel like you can do it in one go. Nice and clean. You got it.
All right, everyone. If you like this podcast, go like and subscribe. You can find us on anywhere you get your podcasts at Beyond the Filters Podcast. Our Instagram is at Beyond the Filters Podcast. We have a Google form there to ask us some questions. We're going to start getting back into answering those questions again. The last month and a half of our lives have just been so busy. So we're going to start putting a little more work and dedication into this podcast again. So please send us your questions. Go like do all the stuff I said before, and we'll see you in the next one.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.